Welcome to episode 36 of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. My name is Deontay Epps, and for this episode, Dane and I were joined by Brian Mazique. He's a sports and gaming journalist for Forbes, covers NBA 2K, Madden, EA Sports, everything that you see about gaming and experience when you read articles. A lot of those articles are coming from Brian. So we took the time to reach out to him to get him to come on the podcast. And man, was he great. Dropped so many gems about the upcoming college football game from EA Sports. Talked a lot about Madden, including some information about a certain hashtag that you've probably seen circulating on social media a few months ago regarding the Madden franchise. We got into 2K and they're creeping up to possibly try to get into the football realm of sports video games. So many gems. Brian was amazing. Of course, Dane is always amazing. And we just appreciate you guys tuning in each and every time we step on the mic, and we're just trying to give you guys the best content possible. Also, don't forget you can purchase Duo shirts, short and long sleeve, by going to bit.ly.com/theduoshirts. Pre-orders will end on February 19th. Don't forget, after you fill out that form, you can also pay by hitting our Cash App or Venmo. So that'll be going on until February 19th. But we're just going to drop you right into the episode talking about college football, EA Sports game coming up. Hope you guys enjoy it. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast.
You are now listening to the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. Here are your hosts, Deontay Epps and Dane Beasley.
You know, they heard, you know, they knew all of that stuff. They knew that people wanted it back, but they weren't going to take that step until they knew that they could do it the way they wanted to do it. Now, hardcore sports gamers probably felt like, you guys could have done this a long time ago. All you had to do was let us be able to customize the rosters, customize the jerseys. But major companies like that don't have as much confidence in what they would see that as, like a niche kind of a lane, right? Because the fact of the matter is, most gamers are not going to take the time to fill out a whole roster. Most gamers are not even going to take the time to go and on whatever share feature you have to download whatever this roster is. And then there's the liability that's connected to ignorance, right? So you have somebody fill out this entire roster and do all these things, and they supply you with this just bang up player creation tool. And you look out here and somebody's got a killer version of Trevor Lawrence, hair coming out the back, everything, got the right amount of paws on his head for however many big plays he's made for Clemson. And what happens is, someone in a position of power says, how in the world did you get Trevor Lawrence in the game? You don't have license to use him. And so now there's an explanation that has to go on, where EA right. has to say, well, this is not a real guy. This somebody, our community created this. And those are the types of conversations that major organizations don't want to have. They want everything to be in the clear front, just bam, I'm able to do this, because they literally have no reason to take risk because they are already making money hand over fist. I literally had this situation happen to me. I was making a Legends roster. I've been making Legends rosters forever. So I made a Legends roster some years back, and 2K was in the process of signing Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to get his license. And they hadn't finalized it yet. But I made a killer Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and I put him on as the lead image of an article, and he was on these thumbnails that I had done on YouTube. Well, Kareem's people called 2K and said, what is this? We didn't finish this yet. So they had to have this conversation with Kareem's people to explain to them that they didn't jump the gun and start using his license. So there's all this different kind of stuff that goes on that people kind of don't always know about. So, you know, that's why EA knows that something is going to be worked out with the players thing. They know that they'll be able to pay these players. they don't know exactly necessarily when that that agreement is going to be had, but they know that it's coming. And with that and the strength of their license with the CLC, the Collegiate Licensing Company, which gives them access to over 200 different schools. And when we talk about schools, we're not just talking about, oh, I can say Alabama, which was actually historically, they're the first ever university to ever sign with the CLC. Every other school followed their footsteps afterwards. So this license gives them access to do more than just say, oh, we got Alabama. No, they get to have the name of the stadium. They get to have all of the complete uniform breakout. If Alabama has some sort of signature tailgating celebration or whatever that's associated with the school, this license covers all of that. They could even put Paul Bell Bryant in there because he's the first guy who ever signed. He negotiated that deal with CLC to get Alabama as a part of it. So this license is far more powerful than people realize. And the only thing that there is to shake out is what are we going to do from a player standpoint? But because of the way EA operates, I already know how that's going to work. So we're going to say, okay, you got Trevor Lawrence is obviously a quarterback at Clemson. So we don't want any confusion. Mm-hmm. So we're going to make Trevor Lawrence a 6'1" black guy who's left-handed with a
plenty of that. Yeah.
And so now what you've got to do it, and he's just going to be, and he might be number 14 instead or whatever, one number off what his jersey number is. But of course you can edit everybody. Right. Mm-hmm. And so, but that's only going to be a temporary thing. So their thing is at the floor of their idea, right? The floor of their idea is something unforeseen goes wrong and we don't get the player licenses. But what we will have is Ultimate Team. And Ultimate Team is the money driver. So what you do is, I already got the license to Adrian Peterson. I already got the license to Bo Jackson. I already got the license to Mike Vick. I already got the license to Joe Montana. So now I'm giving you Ultimate Team versions of Bo Jackson at Auburn. I'm giving you Ultimate Team versions of Steve Young at BYU and all of this. And now the Mutt fans, I guess now there would be Cut fans. I guess this is college Ultimate Team. The Cut fans are now scrambling to get a gold version of Auburn Bo Jackson.
Oh my God.
And so if nothing else, from a micro transaction standpoint, they have that, even if they have to let everybody just, you know, completely update the roster. So the game is going to happen. And I'm betting 85 to 90% that when it releases, EA would prefer to have the whole licensing thing wrapped up so they can literally put the names of the players on the backs and with no restrictions. But even if that whole thing gets wrapped up after they bring it out, they can just add the real rosters in as a DLC and an update once the legal thing is ironed out. So this is gonna happen.
Man, that's wild. So you mentioned EA Sports in general, and EA Sports has plenty of criticisms for, you know, the Madden game itself, franchise mode. Myself and Deontay were both avid Madden players, at least not this past year.
We skipped this year.
For personal reasons. I had to take a little sabbatical.
Y'all took a Neo Man.
Pretty much. Took a stand. It took a knee. Yeah, for real. Yeah. For real, man. This is the first year we ever like took a break because, I mean, we just fed up with everything as far as, I know you've obviously seen everything going on with social media regarding the system or the game. So, yeah, we just took a break.
So, considering those criticisms, how optimistic should fans be about this product? And then two, the second part of the question, how optimistic are you about this product as a fan?
Well, you know, so the whole Fix Madden franchise hashtag, I started it. So it started.
Wow.
It started with an article that I wrote on.
I don't even remember that. I mean, I remember the hashtag, but I didn't know it started with you.
Yeah. I participated that day. And I had no idea that it was going to get that big.
Appreciate you.
I what I did was I started sending it to everybody on Twitter who had Madden in their description, who had at least a certain amount of followers. And I said, if we can get this going, and I got turned down by a lot of people. And some people turned me down in a very like just indignant manner, like Throne YouTube, the guy, one of the biggest mutt guys, like he's actually a complete jerk. You don't even have to edit that out. I'm totally fine with you saying it. Yeah, he is. But he's a mutt guy. And mutt guys are very defensive about talking about anything that has to do with the game because it's a business for them first. And I get it. I get that, you know, but there's still certain ways to be more just amicable and mature about the way you handle something that you don't necessarily agree with. So I'm very aware of what's going on with Madden. And to be totally honest, while there's plenty of things that can be fixed from a gameplay standpoint, I think the biggest issues are with the just naked franchise mode and just overall a lack of creativity and innovation with the options and customization. It baffles my mind that a version of your game from 13 years ago has more features than the one now.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
I know that traditionally what we've seen is when you go from one console generation to the next, what usually happens is they kind of strip it down to bare bones a little bit and they start to add the features back because they focus on graphics and gameplay initially, and then they blow it out, right? I was very happy to see that 2K didn't do that this year. 2K came out with Next Generation and there's some gameplay issues, but they said, we're going to hit you with the greatest franchise mode we ever had. And we already had the best one anyway.
But right.
You know what I'm saying? So I appreciated uh-huh. that, right? And it doesn't appear that MLB The Show is pulling back. MLB The Show has finally given us Create a Ballpark.
And right.
Doing it on the first version.
And they got the cross-gen, or they're trying to do the cross-gen this year.
Play,
right.
Like, so now it seems like the trend is changing from that standpoint, right? But Madden is so EA is so stagnant, right? And so that same concept that I was telling you about, which you don't have to take risk, well, there is a faulty side of that as well. And you don't take risk because I'm already making all this money on microtransactions.
Mm, right.
Why would I take a risk of giving you guys a feature that not work at first? Because see, that's the thing. And that's the thing about 2K, right? People get on 2K a lot and they deserve a lot of the criticism that happens. But what they don't respect is that 2K will try things. They want to add things. They will push an envelope. And quite honestly, a lot of the 2K community does not really appreciate the game as much as it. Dude, bro, you get to create a guy and walk around a fictional environment, interacting with people with the ability to play in about the game. It's like six different games in one.
And like they got stuff for either any type of player. Like
right. But meanwhile, EA is giving you Madden and saying you better take it. You better like it because it's football. You know what I mean? And they're not trying to push an envelope at all because you're prospering so much. Why rock the boat is the way that they're looking at it. And other thing that gamers have to realize is that most of these decisions are made by non-gamers. Right.
Unfortunately,
made by people who sit up in an office and their evaluation is based off of a sheet of numbers or a screen of numbers. And it says this and it says that. And if this number is higher than this number, they don't care what you've been tweeting. They don't care what your YouTube video said. This number on the left side is higher than this number on the right. And we're going to keep on doing what this number on the left side said. That's just it. It's literally that simple. So it's like my expectations for college football are actually fairly high. And the reason I say that is because I do believe that, see, all hashtags are not created equal. And what I will say is the difference in Fixed Madden franchise and some of those other ones that kind of came out after that is that, okay, it's funny. When I did that, what I really was kind of building off of was the spirit in the world by people who felt less than powerful in our world, right? So oftentimes, us as Black men and us as Black people, we find ourselves in these situations, right? And we feel underserved. We feel marginalized. And we know that we don't like what this situation is. But if you start asking people, well, what do you want then? How do we change this? What to do? You start seeing that you're not getting actual solutions. You're just getting more cries out of something's wrong. And I understand that. But when you're going to make a demand to somebody and say, I'm no longer going to take this. Here's what I want. And here's what would satisfy me. So my mindset was Fixed Man Franchise was trying to kind of tell people, if you're unhappy, say you're unhappy, but also tell me what would make you happy. Don't just get out here and say, I'm mad. Okay, why? Because I'm mad. No, bro.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So to me, Fixed Man Franchise was specifically telling you, your franchise mode is below standard. We would like to see that improved. And if you don't improve it, the people who belong to this demographic are no longer going to buy in. And so because of that, I think college football ties very well into the franchise community because people used to enjoy being able to take the players that graduated off of college football,
correct,
put them into Madden. If you like college football like that from a video game standpoint, I would venture to say 6 to 7 times out of 10, you're a franchise player. So the fact that college football is even getting brought back is a nod to that community to a degree, because I think that a higher demographic there. So because of that, I expect this to be something pretty decent. And I also expect the franchise mode of Madden 22 to be the best franchise mode we've seen since 08.
That's deep. You talked about the customization of, how people take the rosters and stuff like that. You're familiar with the college football revamp?
Yep.
Okay, so I've tried it, and it's incredible. It's like playing an updated version on the Xbox 360 or PlayStation 3. And the guys that put in the work to that, I was describing it to Dane and my brother. It's incredible the work they put in to update a game that we loved so long ago. And do you feel like EA Sports, or they had some eyes and ears out there kind of like, okay, they actually brought this game back. People still love this game. And they basically recreated a new game. You think EA kind of was aware of things that were going on in there?
To be totally honest, absolutely not.
Okay.
Because they probably should have been, but the decision maker, like, okay, so does Clint Oldenburg know that they did college football revamped? Absolutely. But the decisions that are made for these franchises are made so far ahead above Clint Oldenburg. You think Clint Oldenburg doesn't want to make the game that these people want? He does.
Yeah.
This dude played offensive line in the NFL. He
right.
knows the game better than every single last one of these people who cry about what's not in it. So if he was making the exact game that he wanted to make, it would have a lot of this stuff that people say that they want.
Mm-hmm.
But now he don't necessarily always handle the public well. You know what I'm saying? That's not his strong suit.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I've always been against developers mixing with community managers. It's two different skill sets. And it's very difficult for a developer not to take personal direct criticism of his work. That's why a community manager is a very important position, because they can serve as the liaison between the community and the developers. So you don't get that first response that might be a knee-jerk, angry response from a developer from criticism. It comes through the community manager, can be funneled to the community in a way that is more digestible and doesn't burn bridges and mess up relationships and vice versa. But the developers, man, I know people on this development team who literally have flat told me they won't let us make the franchise mode. We won't. They won't.
It goes back to that Madden Ultimate Team and the microtransactions they're bringing in.
Yes. I know cha-ching. People have left this team because of frustration on the fact
that's
that they
sad, can't
make
man.
The franchise mode that they want. Dude, the guy who is one of the most visible franchise mode guys right now, Andre Weingart, he's Swami from YouTube. That's where he got his start. Always been a hardcore franchise guy. He is a hardcore straight franchise nerd. If that guy isn't able to make the franchise mode that everybody wants, you know it's not because of a lack of desire or passion. It's because of something above them that is creating a ceiling. You know, and those guys that are making, guys and girls or whoever that are making this decision, they don't know how much money did College Football Revamped make? That's the question. And if it didn't make anywhere near anything, it didn't cut into any level of their profit share or market share at all. And that is the thing that moves the needle for the decision makers.
Man, so I guess the tough question, or do I really want the answer to this, is for college football guys like us, is there any idea when one could possibly expect this product?
I think the earliest you'll see it is next year. But I think we're looking more like 2 to 3 years. I would say 2 is probably the 3 seems long because, I mean, we in a TikTok generation, man, is attention spans are short.
Yeah. Thanks.
You know, so you can't drag on stuff too long. And trust me, that announcement probably came a good 18 months after the real conversation began. So that was just when it was made public. But people within EA have known that this was coming probably for at least a year and a half.
There was a tweet from that account, like the old college football account. They had tweeted during the national championship. I don't know if you remember that, like 4 or 5 years ago, like the little heartbeat. Yep. And people were freaking out then, like, oh, is it coming? Is it coming? Exactly. They're like, oh.
And that was a test. That was a feeler.
Yeah, they got me.
Do this like
sure.
that, man. It's teasing.
It's a feeler because the people at EA probably said, all right, we're going to. It was strategic.
Yeah.
With this feeling, when will eyes be highest on college football? National championship.
Okay?
We're going to put this tweet out. And I wouldn't be surprised, because this is literally how this works, man. I wouldn't be surprised if the powers that be says, if this tweet trends or gets 600,000 likes, 500,000 likes, or whatever amount of retweets, whatever amount of social engagement, will move to the next step. If it doesn't, then maybe that's telling us the interest level isn't there like we think.
That's
interesting. I remember that. I was like, oh man, they gonna announce something. Then I think they followed up with a tweet. Oh no.
No,
we just love we just college football. Yeah.
I remember I had a conversation with the guy who's the executive producer of the NCAA series. His name is Ben Hallmiller. He's still there. So he's a guy, right? Straight football guy. I mean, straight up real deal football guy, right? And we were at what it was called the PlayStation Experience. And it was in 2014 in Vegas. It was in December, but it was the year that the new, I think it was the year, no, it was a month after PlayStation 4 dropped, came out. So we're there and they had an EA UFC booth. And so there's a bunch of EA people there. Chuck Liddell's there. I literally played
Chucky.
UFC with Chuck Liddell. And Misha Tate's there. Everybody. So it's really cool, right? And I get Ben Hallmiller over there. And I'm like, bro, you think I'm not going to ask you about college football right now? Like, he was like, he's like, man, if it was up to me, we'd already be playing it. He's like, but it's not that simple. You know, it's not that simple. And he said, to answer your question about are they aware of certain things, the people on his level are aware of the things like College Football Revamped, because he said, well, I've heard there's some ways to get the new college football playoff format. Just what I've heard.
Right. So that's the way of saying that. Yeah.
Plant a little seed.
Right. He knows about these mods and stuff that are happening, but he's not the decision maker. And that's the thing. And so many people in the community, they think that the people that they get to talk to all the time are the decision makers, and they're not. Ronnie doesn't make any decisions for 2K.
Ronnie
gets blamed on the daily.
He get blasted all the time.
Doesn't make any decisions for 2K. LD2K doesn't make any decisions for 2K. Andre Weingarten doesn't make it. And to a degree, a guy like Rex Dixon, who's not in that position anymore with EA for Madden, he didn't either. He was very frustrated by the lack of focus on franchise, which is part of the reason why he left. So it's not too often the culprits are out of the community's reach. So, you know, just what it is.
Interesting. A lot of people don't really realize. I know sometimes I feel like that too. Like, man, just it's people above, like you said, the ones that we see on social every day, that make the decisions of what we enjoy. As far as 2K had announced, I don't even know how long ago it was, about them diving into the football product. We know they can't make a simulation type game similar to Madden. What's your thoughts on what they could possibly do? Could we, especially as, you know, classics back in the day with NFL Street, NBA Street, will we see some type of variation or something similar to what NFL Street was?
So the key thing for this whole thing is we need a definition of what is simulation. Okay. Because before we know what that means, we won't know what to expect. So I've talked to 2K several times about it. And right now his mom's the word, you know, they're not going to let out what they want to do, you know, what's going to happen. I do know that they have high hopes of being able to pry some level of exclusivity away. But here again, these decisions are made by non-gamers who don't have much of a reason to take a risk. Madden is extremely successful from a financial standpoint. So you got people like Cal McNair from the Houston Texans, Robert Kraft from the Patriots, Virginia McCaskey from the Bears.
Making these decisions with the exclusive license.
So
yeah.
You think that she cares about how good NFL 2K5 was?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're like, check the number. They're like, well, what's the money looking like?
What's the numbers?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. What's
sign.
The what's the numbers? Yes. And so, right. All of us as NFL owners had collected a check based off of whatever percentage of that revenue they get from Madden success or whatever they pay for that license. And I'm sure they get some percentage of what, you know, EA makes from just producing the game and microtransactions and the licensing and all that. So they get, you know, each owner might be getting, dude, like another $50 million just from Madden, right? Bam, and dropped in there. And now you telling me that, hey, somebody's trying to pitch you. Well, you know, if you open up this license to these other companies, they'll be, that sounds way too complicated when I'm already getting this. I'm already, and people get mad at them. Like, bro, if you were in that same situation, you probably make the same decision. Like people get mad at EA. Y'all, they're bogus. They're, you know, shutting down competition. Man, I'm going to tell you something. If I am a potato chip manufacturer and I've been selling these potato chips and people have been buying these potato chips, but here comes this new company who's going to start making potato chips. And all of a sudden, everybody starts saying, man, them potato chips taste kind of good. And they don't even cost as much as your chips. But then I get to go to the potato factory and say, hey, man, I make a deal with you. Don't sell them no more potatoes. Give me all the potatoes. You think I'm not going to the potato factory and saying, don't give no more potatoes to them? That's exactly what I'm
business
doing.
For them. It's yeah, business. For sure.
You know what I mean? And then people don't understand the NFL approached them. They didn't approach the NFL. The NFL came to everybody who had the NFL license and said, we're open to an exclusivity deal. And at the time, EA was the one that was in the position to take it. And they took it. And now there it goes. You know, it's what it is.
We appreciate you, Brian, taking the time out, man, to give more perspective of the ins and outs. I wouldn't say backdoor deals, but just like stuff people don't really get or understand. To have you on, yeah, for sure, Dane. To have you on and give your perspective is amazing. We appreciate you so much, man. Every time we have a guest on, we like to give them the opportunity to shout out anything, social media, any causes or anything like that.
Yeah, man. I really just appreciate the opportunity to sit before people and all of that. And, I don't have a certain type of like business calls, but what I will say is that everything that I've been able to accomplish has been because of God. And that's the cause that's most important to me at this point, more than any business. And it even covers every charity that I might even mention. So that's my cause.
Can't do it better than that, man. For sure. Appreciate you so much, Brian Mazik, sports and gaming journalist for Forbes. And we just appreciate you very much. Episode 36 of the Duo Sports and Stuff podcast. You can listen to this episode on all digital streaming platforms, as well as our website, www.theduosportsandstuffpodcast.com. Peace.